It's lovely singing. If we can turn to John's Gospel, chapter 13, please. John 13. Just to read a verse or two there again. I'd like to thank the assembly for your hospitality, for your lovely tea. And we're looking forward to those homemade tree bakes. Marks and Spencer's is perfectly fine, but homemade tree bakes, you can't beat them. So God is good, and we're thankful for that. John chapter 13, and we're just going to read verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And again, that just lays a foundation for what we want to think about. Somebody asked me, was this my house? No, it's not. I just put it up there because it's a typical Irish cottage. That just wraps that up. Again, just like to thank you for your interest in the Lord's work in Ireland. The Lord has blessed us, as I said earlier on, with two wonderful girls who love the Lord. Anna spent some time last year in Tanzania and in France serving the Lord, and it's wonderful to see their desire to serve the Lord. We finished our last report just in relation to gospel literature Ireland. I mentioned about calendars. There are obviously a multitude of scripture calendars in Christian bookshops, and each one of those is a tremendous work that somebody has done. We have decided to do our own project just to localize the pictures a little bit, so all the pictures that we have are from Northern Ireland or Southern Ireland. A lot of these will go primarily into Catholic or nationalist areas, and the contact details that we have, the information that we have on those, would be geared towards that. So that kind of backs up a work that we are able to help in certain areas of Belfast. We're not the driving force behind this, but some children's work in areas of West Belfast and areas that would be primarily nationalist. Now, what do I mean by that? When we moved from England in 1996, one of the areas, in fact, this area that we were in here, used to have signs at the edge of their housing estate, and it simply said, Brits out. You weren't welcome. Coming to the end of the Troubles, coming to the end of that time when essentially there were obviously a massive divide in communities in Belfast. But obviously over time that has changed. There is an opening, and it's a privilege to be able to go into certain areas of that once upon a time you wouldn't be able to go into, maybe 30, 40 years ago, but now to be able to set up in a green area or to go into a community area like this in an area called the Markets of Belfast, those of you that know Belfast City Centre, and use the local community building for some children's work. And to see the parents embrace it, to see the parents thank you for coming, and afterwards doing a hot chocolate or tea and coffee, either using the trailer or the gazebo, and trying to reach the parents. That's one of the desires that Jillian and I have, that while the children are learning in the Bible club, that we're able to try and reach the parents. Not an easy task. Again, very much steeped in religion, in tradition, but over time, the Lord helps to break down some of those barriers. Last year, I believe you had Paul Jenkinson talking about Hope by the Roadside. Paul and I would be good friends. About 5 or 6 years ago, we brought one of the trailers over, and it was parked at our house for a time, and it was used in the locality, and then we moved it over to Kilkenny. Those of you that know Ireland at all will know there's a lovely assembly in Kilkenny. They have a large area, roadside area, outside of the hall, and for the last 5 years, that trailer's been parked there, just displaying the Word of God. What a privilege, what a joy. And we know of at least a few people that have made contact as a result of that. Much of our work now that we've moved back up to Northern Ireland is personal work, visitation. Those of you that are involved in that type of work will know that in many ways you're limited in a report of what you can say. through confidentiality, through different circumstances, but I want to share for a few moments just some of that. That involves travelling for myself up and down the island of Ireland at different times, back to where we lived for all those years down in Limerick to visit people, and more locally in Northern Ireland. Sometimes that will be around the scriptures, it should always be, but around the scriptures. Carl showed us a picture earlier on of the answer being from the scriptures, and it always is. But sometimes with individuals it can take maybe two or three times before you get to that stage of just building up trust with that person, letting them know that what they tell you or what they will share with you will be confidential. And so we're able to be involved with that. We last year just able to visit Newcastle West again, where we were able to go down and spend a weekend, and was there just not that long ago, and we'll be there again maybe twice this year. And it's a joy to see an assembly work growing. Colin and Natalie Burnett are still there, and I'd ask you to pray for the assembly. A lot of foreign nationals there, and it's wonderful. We were down at sea for a time with one of the Indian couples, had a little baby, and they wanted a little dedication and just a time of thanksgiving, and it was a joy to be able to share in that. Also, I had a privilege just a month or two ago to visit this little short man. He wouldn't mind me calling him that, Eddie. Eddie got saved a number of years ago in France. Somebody shared his testimony last time I was here. Eddie's wife is not saved, and Eddie has the outset of dementia and hasn't been able to drive, hasn't been able to get to the meeting for some time. And so just taking time out of a busy schedule and going and spending an evening with Eddie and trying to encourage. And I want to encourage you to do the same in your assemblies, in your home places. Maybe there's somebody that can't regularly get out to the meeting. Maybe there's somebody that's just needs, I mentioned this last night, a hand on the shoulder or an arm around them, or taken out to Costa or Starbucks just to spend time with them, encourage them. I was there, and Eddie's wife Mary was there, and she, halfway through the evening, she interestingly said to me, she said, "Do you mind if I excuse myself? I'm just going up to say my prayers." She'd be a very Catholic lady, high up into philosophy, and she still worships and prays to idols. I just pray that there would be a spiritual unity in that home. Many of us know what Alzheimer's or dementia can do. And when there's that spiritual divide in the home, I think at times for Eddie's spiritual well-being, it will be a struggle for him. So please pray for him as well. Recently, we're involved also, mentioned last night somewhat about mental health. Just recently, a good friend of mine, Derek Watson, and myself, we organized a weekend or a Saturday conference titled Understanding Mental Health Through the Mind of Christ. Well, we had two brothers from the States over who are, one is a retired consultant, and the other is involved with biblical counseling. And we held a day on the Saturday, and then these two brothers did 18 sessions of podcasts and fireside chats, if you know what that term means. And that will be produced into a video series available for families, for elders, as a tool to try and help as things with mental health develop, and so many people suffer from that. Most of the rest of the time tonight, I just want to share with you a work called The Beacon. Some of you have maybe read about this in Echoes or LWT, but when we moved from the south to Northern Ireland in 2021, it wasn't soon afterwards that we've seen this guy tonight. He would not love the fact that he's on the screen, but Clifford Law, he went to Seville with Seed Sowers. Clifford and his wife Sarah moved to the same town as Jelena and myself, and they approached us about the building that you see on the screen. This was a gospel hall. The assembly met there until 2019. The assembly closed down, sadly, and the building was lying empty. It's a big car park, big bit of land, right in the middle of hundreds of houses, including ours, which is a 10-minute walk. A prime location. and yet sad to see a testimony close. And so we approach the elders, not about starting another assembly, but just being able to use that building as a Christian-based outreach. And so in March 2022, careful to be before the Lord. There's a temptation at times when you have an empty building that we make it become what we think it should be. It'd be great to do this, it would be great to do that. And remember last night mentioned that not every need that we see or not every concern that we have becomes our responsibility. And so we were very careful before the Lord in his leading. So we didn't want to manufacture something that was not of him. And so we prayed, and with the blessing of the trustees at the time, Clifford and I are now trustees of the building, we started on a weekly basis, a Tuesday morning coffee morning, a once a month Saturday morning coffee morning, just to see what response we would get from the local community. We did some door-to-door work, really with the purpose of giving out invitations. And it was quite an interesting thing for people to say, we've seen the building lie empty. It's nice to see something happening again. And we now have a great team. It's not just the four of us. You can see Gillian there and Lucy and another couple and this man who we didn't know before we opened the door of the Beacon. But Gordon is 78 years of age, loves the Lord, goes to a local evangelical church, but has essentially become our handyman, caretaker, comes and just is at everything. And a brother in the Lord who is trustworthy and faithful. And it's a blessing to have that. We just set it up very informally, invited people to come. We have an area there for the children. Homemade tray bakes, even though that's shortbread that you can see, but homemade tray bakes, we do try our best. Because I'm a firm believer, again, as we talked about earlier on with literature, that just because it's free, we shouldn't compromise on the quality, should we? And so it's nice to be able to show people the love of Christ, even through something as simple as homemade scones or tray bakes, when possible. We wanted to keep people's dignity as we invited them in, whatever their circumstances, and for people to feel welcome. And this is an average morning on a Tuesday morning as people come in. But as we started the coffee mornings, we were burdened that, well, what else would the Lord want us to do? We faced a little bit of criticism for not stopping the coffee morning and preaching to people halfway through, but we realized that, well, if we did that, then most people wouldn't come back. So we decided that over the next few months that we would start, so we do periodic children's work. We do Monday nights in October, Monday nights in March, and a week in the summer of children's work. And obviously this is a way to get the Word of God out into the hearts and minds of the children. We have a Friday morning men's morning called the Men's Cave. I'll talk to you about that in a moment. And the ladies have a Wednesday night monthly gospel outreach as well. There you can see the summer children's work. Great encouragement. We hired a marquee to put up because there wasn't enough room in the building, and the children sitting down and listening. But it's not all about the big numbers. That was in October. And it was a privilege, even if there's 10 children, to share the gospel with 10 children. And sometimes, or whatever number is on the screen, but one thing that stood out was that when some of the parents came on the last night for the prize giving, and you don't do it for this, but one or two of the parents said to us, thank you for taking time with our kids. One dad in particular said to me, he said, he had two twin boys, maybe about 6 years of age. He said one of them was born with a very bad stutter and had gone through speech therapy and was a bit nervous about coming. But because we were smaller in number and had a good number of helpers, then some of the ladies in particular are able to spend time, sit down, and with some of the children where they needed a little bit extra attention. And on the last night, that young boy stood up with his brother and word for word said his memory verse. And his unsaved dad came and said, thank you for taking time. Sometimes that's all it takes, time, for people to know that we care. On a Wednesday night, once a month, the ladies meet. Normally it's Gillian or Sarah that will start with a 20-minute gospel message. An average of 30 to 35 ladies come in, maybe on average 20 of those are not saved. They hear the gospel, they make a craft, have tea and coffee, and it's a privilege to be able to see. And you can see there Gillian sitting, I've just blanked out faces for obvious reasons, but the opportunity that Gillian and Sarah and some of the leaders have to sit down and talk to people. There's a lot of people hurting in the world around us. There's a lot of people that have been hurt spiritually over the years. And have maybe said that they won't go into a church because of something that was said or done years back. But they view the Beacon, they know it's a Christian-based outreach, but they view it in some way as a neutral venue where we won't hide the gospel from them. But they know that they will get a listening ear as well. On a Friday morning, we have a bit of a motley crew of men that meet, but it's wonderful. Men, we can be sometimes the hardest age or the hardest demographic to reach. Even as believers, we can be hard to sit down together, to open up sometimes, to talk. And so on an average basis, we have 20, 25 men on a Friday morning. I'm not there every Friday just with other responsibilities, but we're blessed that we have three or four men that take responsibility for it. We always start again with a message from the Word of God for 15, 20 minutes. Some weeks after that, it's very simple, just enjoying a chat and a coffee, sometimes a game of pool or carpet bowls if they can feel energetic enough. Some weeks we take them out, and you can see here those of you that know Belfast will know Harland and Wolff Shipyard, and we were able to take them into there for a tour. And this coming Friday, we're just taking them out for breakfast. Just showing some kindness, some love, some time. And again, one of the things that we established through the work at the Beacon, the great need that there is amongst the unsaved, but also the great need that there is amongst the Lord's people. For encouragement, but also there are a lot of lonely brothers and sisters in the Lord. At our coffee morning on Tuesday, we had one table, and around that table there were six widows, all in assembly fellowship or going to their own church, but they came and enjoyed a cup of tea and whatever they had to eat, and just a good chat, sometimes a laugh, and just enjoy time. And it's a blessing to see the Lord developing the work to be able to meet the needs amongst the Lord's people as well. We also do something, it's quite unconventional, but on a Tuesday night we have what we call a walking group. And we arrange this near the start, and we get, this is where we see the most number of unsaved people coming. We basically meet at the door of the building, and people have a choice of three things. They can go for a short walk, a long walk, or they can stay with me when I'm making the tea and coffee for afterwards. That was the condition I made when I signed up to do the walking group. And but it's interesting because when people know the building's open, they'll come. And many of them will go for the walk, many of them enthusiastically. I want to mention to you this young man, Johnny. Well, Johnny's about my age, we'll call him a young man, in his 40s. Johnny was raised in a gospel hall. Johnny knew the gospel, came along to Sunday school, but sadly went away from the Lord. And when we first started, Johnny's two sisters, who would be in assembly fellowship with their families close by, encouraged him to come to the Beacon walking group. So he came, but he never came inside. That was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. Now Johnny will come in for a cup of tea, cup of coffee. He came to our Christmas carol service. He'll contact us directly when there's different things he has a question about. I'd ask you to pray for Johnny. That if he's not saved, that the Lord would graciously save him. And if he is saved when he was a child, that again, that he would be restored and come back to the Lord. This lady here, her husband died suddenly 2 years ago. She comes and just enjoys the friendship. We opened on, we we excused ourselves, but we the beacon opened on Christmas Eve because a number of people said they would be on their own. We were able to excuse ourselves because there were enough people that were going with two girls, even though they're 20 and 16. We felt family responsibilities and had committed to something else. But 13 people showed up on Christmas Eve. There is a need, isn't there, for people just to be shown compassion and kindness. Young people's work. Once a month on a Saturday night, young people get together. This was a summer barbecue that we did, but then once on a Sunday night, there is a more intensive Bible study, Bible class. And I believe that last Sunday evening, there was about 20 young people that stayed for two hours to study the scriptures after their own respective gospel meetings. What a privilege to use the building. Every Christmas, we've invited people to come to a carol service. We had no idea the first year, the first time at the end of 2022, how many would come. And I think we were able to squeeze just over 100 people in. A lot of those people that you see are not saved. A lot of people are what I will call churchy. But there are some that are saved. And it was a joy and privilege to be able to see people coming in. And again this year, to hear the gospel. After we did the first year, we did something for Easter. Now, Christmas carols, everybody knows. So we did something for Easter, and trying to organize an outreach for Easter and have some hymns that would be suitable and reflective of the Easter message. So we did that, and again, we had a good number of people. There was a few of the ladies from the walking group came. So fast forward to the second year, we did our Christmas outreach, and they said to us, you're definitely doing something for Easter, aren't you? These ladies aren't saved. But they said Easter is a major part of for you Christians. We loved last year. We want something this year. And they came and listened to the gospel. Please just pray that we'd be able to sow the seed and continue to sow the seed. We read the verse tonight that the importance of as believers loving one another. Sometimes we maybe, and I say this carefully, sometimes we maybe miss the mark on that, as the Lord had intended. But what we were reminded was that when we do, what a testimony it is to the world outside. By this will all men know, when we, brothers and sisters, love each other as the Lord has asked us to do. I showed you earlier on the container work for the beacon, or for GLI, and we're also able to do that for, have half of it for the work at the beacon as well. I'd ask you to pray for that work. It's quite a unique work. It's quite a quite a lot of people don't know what to think of it in Northern Ireland. We don't have a conventional gospel meeting from the building. I firmly believe when we look through the scriptures and we look through Acts 8 and we see Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch. Do we not read that he was, number one, he was preaching in the city, the Lord brought him away from that, but when he was engaging in conversation with that Ethiopian eunuch, we also have the word to preach. And sometimes we maybe water down the importance in our minds of engaging in conversation with individuals. Please never think like that. Because as you go into the workplace, as you go into college, as you go into university, wherever it may be, as we thought earlier on this afternoon, we have a hope. And may we pray that as we are maybe asked about that hope, that we have the courage to give an answer for that hope that we have. It's a work that we enjoy because I enjoy visitation, and through this we're able to visit people. Jillian had an opportunity some time ago, about a year ago, there was one man that came in, a rough and ready man, a man in his 80s. Worked on a building site since he was 14 years of age. Retired, obviously, at this stage, but came in, and quite an interesting character because he would have gone to a number of different locations around the town that offered free tea and coffee. And he was at his funeral recently. One of the aspects of the tribute was that he was known to leave a lot of these establishments, including ourselves, with his pockets stuffed full of scones and tray bakes, so that he wouldn't have to do any baking or cooking when he got home. One of these characters that at times would really almost test your patience. A lovable rogue, if we can call it that, not a scriptural term in case you're wondering, but somebody out there. Lived on his own, estranged from his family. And Jolene has an awful lot more patience than I do. She got to know Davy a lot more in that way, and Davy went into hospital to get a cataract done in his eyes and needed eye drops put in every day for a number of weeks. And the way our health service is over there, I'm sure it's a lot better here, but there was no community nurse available, there was no family available for him to get those eye drops in. And so for a period of weeks, twice a day, Jillian called at the house to do that. And then he decided that he needed the other eye done. So she did that for another 4 or 5 weeks. But one of the reasons, and Carla's mentioned this about, you know, the joy, I can stand here tonight or this afternoon and talk to you about the work that we're involved with. But without the, first of all, the support of the Lord, but the support of our wives, we'd be a lot worse off. And Jillian showed that man kindness and compassion that I firmly believe the Lord would have done if he was here on earth. Sometimes, brethren and sisters, maybe I miss that too much, miss that opportunity to show that. And yet we've read this afternoon that these opportunities come before us. Maybe somebody will come in here tomorrow or in your own respective assembly, and it will be a real test of how we maybe deal with that situation. But even amongst the Lord's people, we thought this afternoon, and I'm sure as we think of Spain, we'll continue to hear about gospel work. But, you know, we're very much involved with gospel work at the Beacon, but I'm excited about it because of the work that can be done amongst the Lord's people. And to see it grow. And to see believers encouraged, young and old. To see young mums coming in with babies in the pram, and to see maybe one of those older sisters in the Lord come and be a support and a help to her. And to be able to visit people like Davy in their home, even if it's for something practical like eye drops. One thing I'd ask you to pray for tonight is that I've put pictures up there. You can see the size of the space and the area. As I said, Clifford and I, when we started the work with the others, we became trustees of the work. And we didn't know at the time, but we inherited a bit of an issue with the land, and we have inherited an issue where in order for the work to continue, really, we need to purchase the freehold of the land and the car park. 1982, when the assembly started, a Christian man donated the land on a 9,000-year lease, and I suppose everybody thought, well, that's going to outlive us. He passed the assets on to his son when he retired. They unfortunately went bankrupt, and all their assets went to a company who make money on buying freeholds and then selling them. And just, I'm not going into the complications now. So we're just dealing with that at the moment. And yeah, we could carve up the land and sell some of it for property and different things. But as you can see, the car park's used for children's work. Every time we're open, the car park is well used. And we believe the Lord would have us move forward with that. So we ask you to pray for wisdom. These things can be a distraction to the main goal. And so I'd ask you to pray that as we deal with this and pray about this, that we would know very much of the Lord's hand upon it. Just as we close, just coming back to family, again, I'll ask you to pray. Lucy is homeschooled. One of the reasons for that is some health issues, which I'll not go into, but through homeschooling, she has greatly improved, and we're very thankful for that. And as she does GCSEs, that the Lord would guide her in relation to further studies in the coming days. Thank you for your interest. Thank you for your time. I would love to be with the assembly tomorrow. I'd planned to be, but there is another storm brewing over Northern Ireland, and so I'll be on the plane at 8:30 in the morning to try and get home. And there's a sense of responsibility at home that I feel strongly about, and I'd ask you just to pray as we do that journey tomorrow. Thank you.
just stretch our legs, please. Number 55.